I'm Steve Stein, and this is Inside Asia. My guest this episode is friend of the show, Peter Wall. For those Inside Asia listeners who've been with us since the first episode, you may recall that Peter was one of our very first guests. And when we spoke to him, it was on the beach in Bali. He spent 5 years in Bali among coconut groves and rice paddies, plying his trade as a filmmaker and establishing a co-working space for digital nomads. For most, this would have been enough. But Peter, you see, is a Canadian, and somewhere in his soul, he heard the call of the wild. Back to the North Country went Peter and his family, and into one of the coldest winters in Canada's recent history. It was on a recent sunny day in Bali while lounging by the pool that I thought of Peter and decided to give him a call. Imagine my surprise to learn that he'd cast aside the camera for the digital equivalent of a pickaxe and headlamp. Peter Wall had other ideas. His new venture? Crypto mining. It's the latest techno fad and what some are calling a breakaway play for financing our digital future. So it is that Peter and his futuristic band of fellow prospectors have carved out a corner of northern Quebec, tending a flock of high-powered computers and fomenting the future of blockchain. How does a skinny intellect with a penchant for warm weather and outdoor sports become a member of the emerging community of cryptocurrency commandos? Stay tuned. You're going to want to hear this. Peter, why in the world would you be raising blockchain technology sitting in the wilds of Canada in some small cabin by a frozen lake? What does that have to do with blockchain exactly?
The thing about the blockchain is that it needs a lot of energy in order to work. Basically, it needs a lot of computer power, a lot of what they call hash power, in order for all of those transactions to be verified on the decentralized, distributed network of computers. And those computers get really hot. So you want to have those computers in a place that is not hot, like where I am right now.
So you're saying oil and gas economy, you know, cheap fuel paired with cold climate means perfect setting for a blockchain cryptocurrency data center?
No, because take out the oil and gas from the equation, because Quebec is all about the hydropower. So I'm in Quebec right now, and 100% of the power, the electrical power in Quebec is generated by hydro, both run-of-the-river systems and these large reservoir systems in northern Quebec. So Quebec is and Quebec has super cheap hydropower. It's the cheapest electrical power, I'm pretty sure, in the world. It can get as low as like 2.48 cents U.S. per kilowatt hour, which is 3.5 cents Canadian, which is really ridiculously cheap. It's about a quarter of from what most people pay in most parts of the world.
All right, now for our listeners, I just have to remind everybody how strange this is for me, because I know Peter Wall is a documentary filmmaker, a laid-back individual who enjoys a good conversation, a great game of tennis, and somebody who probably just doesn't know anything or hasn't known anything from what I'm aware of about anything to do with cryptocurrencies or blockchain or anything. So, but you're talking enthusiastic. You're on to something, Peter. And I guess since you returned to Canada, you've done a few other things. Could you first tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about this new venture?
Sure. I do want to kind of weigh in, because you're partially right and you're partially wrong about my background in cryptocurrency. But first, yeah, so we came back in 2015. I got involved for a while with a meditation app out of Toronto, and did that for a year.
We Case in point.
Into the world. Yeah, and it's called Wildflowers Mindfulness. It's still out there. It's a great program. Then we moved to Ottawa, the capital of Canada, and I got introduced to a group of people that were sailing an icebreaker from Toronto, where there's not that much ice, all the way around the entire circumference of Canada through the Northwest Passage to Victoria, British Columbia.
In celebration, 150th. Canada's 150th anniversary, and then you got off the boat. You got off the boat with an idea, a crazy idea. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So yeah, I got off the ship and was back here home, and through a series of my connections, was kind of brought into this crazy world of blockchain and crazy world of cryptocurrency mining, and there's definitely a lot of, you know, the crypto world has been in, I mean, the shadows is probably not the right term, but it hasn't been, definitely hasn't been accepted by mainstream society yet. Obviously, 2017 was a remarkable year for people who had cryptocurrency and who wanted to, and who were able to, or people who were buying it because, you know, the price of Bitcoin went through the roof and Ethereum and all of these other currencies kind of really became popular.
Before they crashed.
Before they crashed, although they haven't crashed that much. I mean, Bitcoin's now down to half of what it was, but it's still, you know, much, much, many, many, many times more than it was at this time last year. So
Peter, let's break this down for people. Blockchain, okay? So blockchain is the foundation technology that drives the development and the deployment of cryptocurrencies, but you're into something called crypto mining. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Explain that.
So there's a bunch of different ways in the world to get cryptocurrency. One way is to go onto an exchange with your credit card or with a bank transfer or however you want to exchange for it. So that's one way to get crypto. Another way is to buy a whole bunch of mining gear and set it up in your basement or set it up at a facility and become part of the blockchain and become part of the, you know, decentralized network of computers that are authorizing transactions. And for that,
and we're not talking about drill bits here, Peter. When you say mining material, drill bits and heavy machinery, that's not what you mean. There's specific mining tools for crypto.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, graphic processing units, basically these cards that are like these kind of monster computers, that the kind of computers that they're using for artificial intelligence processing, the kind of computers that they're using for, you know, anything that like graphics processing that needs a lot of computing power. They're now taking those and mining them for, not for Bitcoin, but for Ethereum and Bitcoin Gold and a lot of the new cryptocurrencies that aren't as popular. To mine Bitcoin, you need a specialized computer called an ASIC, which is only, it's basically a chip that's specifically designed to do computational power for the Bitcoin algorithm. So it's that's kind of a whole other world.
But your point is that anybody can basically be mining cryptocurrency with the right tools, the right computing power, the right kind of guidance and methodologies. But it's a very expensive undertaking. You've got to have a little bit of algorithmic knowledge. Is that right?
It's expensive. It's complicated. You need a lot of power. They're noisy. You kind of don't really want to have them in your basement. You know, you can, but they get really hot. So it's at this point, it's definitely better to, you know, left to the experts, I would say.
An entree into the new business idea. So here we go. Therefore.
Right. So this company is called Argo Mining, and it's a company that is creating crypto. It's mining as a service. So you, Steve Stein, want to get crypto. You don't trust the exchanges or you're finding that you don't like the prices they're giving you. You don't want to set up a bunch of computers in your basement. So instead, you hire us to mine for you, and you buy a contract, a subscription from us. And in exchange, you're rewarded with coins over the lifetime of that contract.
So we've heard of software as a service, which is an outsourced capability where corporations, enterprises, individuals can say, I don't want to have this software running on my laptop or in my home. I'm going to make sure I put it in the cloud. You guys are talking about crypto mining as a service. I don't know if there's an acronym for that yet, but that's exactly what you're doing.
It's called MAS, yeah, MAAS.
There is an acronym. Okay, of course. And this is the gold rush, baby. This is off we go, 49ers all over again.
And there's basically, you know, three or four places in the world where the gold rush is happening right now. It was going really heavy in China until the Chinese about a month ago kind of put the brakes on and said, we're not sure that we actually want this to continue to be happening in China. And of course, in China, it also, most of it's powered by coal. So the electrical grid is a lot of it's powered by coal power plants. So the mining that's going on for those of us with green tendencies, the carbon footprint is just jet black coming out of crypto from China. Iceland, there's tons of crypto mining going on in Iceland, geothermal power there. Apparently they've run out of power. There's just not really any more capacity. It's a small country. Russia is getting into crypto because it's cold, and you know there's lots of you know technological type folks there, and obviously there's lots of power. And then Quebec. So I'm here in Quebec. Quebec is just a gold rush now, and Hydro-Quebec, which is the provincial you know electrical power supply company, is just up to their ears in requests from international companies, from domestic companies that are trying to set up operations in Quebec. And you basically can't get through to them. There's so many calls being put into Hydro-Quebec to try to get power right now.
Peter, this is a hard concept, right? I mean, I think of major transportation systems or manufacturing facilities or energy, you know, power plants, you know, requiring huge amounts of power to generate and manage them. We're talking about, you know, some computers in somebody's basement. I mean, really, how much power are we talking about here? And why is this such a huge issue?
So these computers that, like, we're setting up, for instance, what we call one rig. So a rig is a computer that has 6 or 8 graphics processing cards connected to it. And, you know, one rig probably generates in a month, about $850 worth of crypto at today's prices. So a rig like that basically runs about 1,000 watts or 1 kilowatt of power. To power it. So if you run, you know, the most you could run on a traditional house of a computer like that would probably be about 50. After that, you'd start blowing fuses. And then if you want to get it into any type of scale, like 100 or 500 or 1,000 or 5,000, which is a lot of these facilities have, you need megawatts of power. So you need to be able to have like basically an industrial power infrastructure into a building in order to power these.
I'm Steve Stein, and this is Inside Asia. My guest is Peter Wall, Vice President of Operations at Argo Blockchain, a burgeoning high-tech player in the world of crypto mining. In the second part of our conversation, I asked him to put the whole crypto mining endeavor into context by comparing it to other currencies. If global currencies are intertwined and pegged to one another in order to establish a kind of global monetary equilibrium, what's the arrangement with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all other forms of cryptocurrency? How are we to know if anything is worth anything? And what exactly does a crypto miner mine?
I think kind of looking at gold, the way in which gold is mined, and how you by putting in effort, you get a return by mining gold. I think that's essentially where cryptocurrencies come from, because it's hard to do the work because you need so much technology, you need so much computing power to do the work to be part of this blockchain, this you know group of decentralized computers. And in fact, the problems that are being solved now are so complicated. That's not even like my set of computers. If I had 100 computers or 200 computers, could solve them on their own. You have to chain together computers in pools. So you're actually, as a miner, you're not even solving the problems on your own. You're joining up with other miners and creating pools. And those pools are the ones that are solving the problems.
This really, in many ways, parallels that California gold rush of the mid-19th century. We are talking about people basically rushing into places with low energy or high energy, low-cost environments, cooler climates, with the ability to kind of bring in tools, equipment, processing capabilities, computing power, and data scientists to create and generate a new form of currency or form of exchange. There's really an absolute parallel here, isn't there?
I think the parallel is between the gold rush and the current crypto mining environment are absolutely fair to make. And I hear it every day. This is a gold rush. And there's people like in Quebec that I've been interacting with, for instance, that are middlemen that are looking to take 5%, 10% of real estate deals, that are talking with, you know, that are trying to use their connections at you know, government institutions to kind of get a step ahead. There's all those kind of things that are happening. And it's definitely, there's a lot of money getting poured into it. I think the big difference, Steve, is that I think that the technology of the blockchain, whether or not it succeeds as a currency, is, you know, anyone's guess, and it could or could not. But this idea of having a distributed, decentralized ledger of transactions that is not controlled by any one particular group or one particular organization or one particular person, that's a type of technology that has lots of different possibilities and potential in other, you know, disciplines, not just in the financial world. For instance, in the supply chain world, in the digital rights management world, in the world of personal identification, in medicine. There's all sorts of ways in which there's an advantage to being able to check what has gone out into the world at any time. For instance, you live in Bali. Let's say, you know, I wanted to buy a chair from a furniture store in Bali. Well, and I live here in Canada. If there was a token that was connected to that particular movement of furniture, I could then look at a distributed ledger that says, okay, this chair was created by Made in Ubud on the 2nd of February 2018. It was sold to this guy, who then sent it to this guy, and I could see the entire chain of that, of where that chair has traveled. And that's all being confirmed and authorized, like all of those transactions are being confirmed by a group of people that have no, you know, real or no vested interest in confirming it, other than if they confirm it, they get some type of token as part of that blockchain.
So, Peter, I mean, the theory of blockchain is brilliant, and I understand that entirely. But it also requires, if I'm understanding you correctly, universal participation. Made in Ubud is going to have to be signing up and applying the same rules of blockchain as the end user or the ultimate buyer of that product and everybody in between, won't they?
So I think the smartest thing I read about blockchain in the last couple weeks was someone basically says that we won't even use in 5 or 10 years, we won't even be using the term blockchain anymore. It'll just be so integrated into our lives that Made will just be like, oh yeah, just like the way FedEx, you know, scans and tracks packages, every piece of, you know, every kind of supply chain is going to be using blockchain. Because How am I to trust FedEx? It's their entire network that is creating that. If FedEx stands in Atlanta, I don't have any trust other than I trust FedEx because they're a trusted institution. But if it's a neutral group of observers who are confirming transactions in a supply chain, it becomes a lot more powerful technology.
Well, but isn't this the ultimate disintermediator? Right? I mean, anybody and everybody in between who's taking a piece of the pie is now out. But of course, that's a terrifying concept, Peter. And forget corporations, you know, governments, back to currency, how do they feel about that? Oh, you know, we don't need the renminbi or the US dollar or the Canadian dollar for that matter. We'll just go with the cryptocurrency. That is a threat. And actually, there is concerns about destabilization. And if I'm somebody who can generate and create Bitcoin all day long and cryptocurrencies, and I'm just getting richer and richer by creating because I can purchase the computing power, why shouldn't that be seen as a threat by governments?
Well, certainly, you know, governments a lot more than I do. And there is a lot of talk about regulatory, you know, issues, obviously, with cryptocurrency and with blockchain. And I think most people who are now working in the crypto world see that as a positive thing. See it as a positive thing that governments are looking at it and studying it and trying to decide, you know, how they want to interact with it. Because I don't think it's going away. I think there's already too much momentum behind it. So it's kind of like, you know, Airbnb and Uber. Like when this kind of massive disruption happens, you know, governments for a while they pretend it's not there. And then when it gets big enough, they say, okay, we better do something about this. And, you know, if you're China, you ban Facebook or whatever you basically take a hard line. And if you're other countries, you can either choose to, you know, adopt it or not. I mean, the extreme example is, you know, I guess it's Estonia now, which is heavily moving into blockchain technology, and they're they're doing kind of some kind of like ID program for all of their citizens to be, you know, basically have like their personal identification on a blockchain type system. So who knows? It's a wild world out there. It really does feel like the Wild West.
Yeah, Iceland, Estonia, Russia, you know, moving into blockchain and cryptocurrencies. It doesn't garner a lot of confidence, I'll be frank, Peter. And a lot of people are actually feeling suspicious. Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to inflate Iceland and Estonia with Russia. Like those are very different situations.
They have their own set of challenges and issues. Well, let me ask you one other question. If the canary in the birdcage is the safety mechanism for your traditional miner, what is the metaphorical canary in the birdcage for crypto miners?
That's an excellent question. I think that's a really good question. I think what crypto miners worry about is like power going out for, you know, ice storms. I think that would be a disaster. Like in Quebec, you know, 20 years ago, there was an ice storm that knocked out power in some places for 2 weeks. And that would be, you would lose literally millions of dollars a day if many of these institutions. So I think that's what people worry about. And then I think also like, yeah, just trying to figure out how governments, you know, react, because it is so new. And you know, who knows how it's all going to turn out.
I can't help but envision you with a hard hat and a light and an ice pick, you know, moving down into the kind of the bowels of some great computing, you know, behemoth and generating your Bitcoins and, you know, like the dragon in the lair, right? This type of thing. These are the images that pop to mind, Peter. Maybe it's all wrong, but it's just the way I think. But how is this going to play out for you? What's your kind of expectation 1-2 years out as you guys get your business up and running?
So I think for us, obviously, look, you know, there's the technology and getting the computing systems up and having all of that. And then obviously making sure that our customers, when, you know, Argo Mining is up and running, which it will be in the coming months, I have a good experience and there's lots of trust and all of those sorts of things. Personally, you know, I've started my own company here now that's just helping set up these other companies with mining operations. And I'm really interested in looking at, you know, green technology and how we can use renewable energy in a cryptocurrency mining environment, how we can use heat exchange to provide, you know, cheap heating and cooling in communities, in particularly in rural communities, because that's one of the exciting things about blockchain technology. You don't have to be in a big center if you have access to power.
I'm smiling, Peter, because what you just said is you're creating a middleman business for a business that's all about disintermediating the middleman. So now I think we kind of have a sense of what this industry and what this business is all about. Listen, I want to wish you great success. Stay warm up there in the chilly Canada. Bali's always waiting for you. Good luck, Peter.
All right, Steve. Always good to chat with you.
That was Peter Wall, Vice President of Operations for Argo Blockchain. We spoke to him from an undisclosed location in northern Quebec, where he's setting up one of the country's first full-scale crypto mining operations. And now it's time for the Inside Asia Minute, that part of the show where we try to make sense of the conversation we've just heard. Here's the question. Is Peter Wall's crypto mining operation visionary entrepreneurial daring, or is it an opportunistic gamble in a time of economic uncertainty and digital disruption? Put differently, are we on the cusp of a 21st century gold rush made possible by the fourth industrial revolution? Or is this a modern day boondoggle destined to disappoint? The very idea of cryptocurrencies as little as 15 years ago would have elicited mockery and laughter. It still sounds far-fetched, but so must have Colorado when the gold miners of the 1850s set out to stake their claims. Instead of dynamite and pickaxes, these crypto miners are armed with complex algorithms, high-speed computers, and light-speed transaction capabilities. It all takes money and energy and lots of it. "Go west, young man," pronounced Horace Greeley, the 19th century founder and editor of the New York Tribune, feeding the American dream of adventure and prosperity. "Go north, crypto miners," is the new call for a new era. North to the cold and hydropower-rich centers of Quebec, where cheap, environmentally sustainable energy waits to serve a new generation of crypto miners. Can you feel it? The promise and the possibility? What if they're right? Time to invest? Why not? And here's why. The thing that sets Wall apart from his gold mining predecessors is that there's a plan B in place. Even if you don't believe conceptually in the value of cryptocurrencies or think it's just a matter of time before those currencies are shut down by actual governments who have an actual stake in their own currencies, blockchain technology is here to stay. Take Bitcoin and its cousins out of the equation, and crypto miners still own the rails upon which transactions will run. Instead of an exhausted hole in the ground, the crypto miners are left, well, with a railway. And that's not a bad deal. That's not even much of a gamble. You in? Until next time, this is Steve Stein saying, coming from the outside on Inside Asia.